wisdom. Number two, we study about who Luqman is all about. Number three is about syukur. Remember? Number four is about tawheed. Okay. Versus shirk. Now, we explain about tawheed, about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one Allah, one God, then the opposite of the shirk. Okay? So when a person believes in Allah, there are three things that you have to remember. One, in the Allah, no God exists but Him. And we explain that to you, that Allah is unique. That is what Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, Allah is the one. Allahu samad, Allah is self-sufficient. Lam yalid, He never beget. No child. Walam yulad, never been begotten. So, God never being a child. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and there is nothing comparable to God. Okay, so whenever you imagination something and you compare that to God, it's wrong. Close your eyes and say, oh, God looks elephant or tiger, looks German guy. Oh, that's wrong. Because you cannot compare God to anything. It's incomparable. Okay? They're simply incomparable. That's the meaning of لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Nothing is comparable to Him. And that is all the meaning of Tawheed. And the opposite is shirk. Okay? When you do believe that there is other gods but Allah. Okay? There is God exists other than Allah, that is wrong. That is called shirk. And shirk in Islam, as Allah, Luqman says, inna shirka la dhulmun adhim. That shirk is the biggest sin, the most severe, the most dangerous sin in Islam. Okay? So you understand now the tawheed and shirk? Okay. Now we are going to one of the most important points also for today's discussion. So then, Allah says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, and we have enjoined the people, we have command, we have order, okay, the people. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, to their parents, dutiful, kindness. Means, oh kids, be kind, be dutiful, respect, love your parents. That is the meaning of that verse. So Luqman advised his son, after believing in the oneness of Allah, the next one is that you have to obey and listen and be dutiful and be kind to your parents. That is the next one. So that is the next importance. The first one is believing in one Allah, obey one Allah, love one Allah, worship one Allah. The second one is love your parents, obey your parents, listen to your parents. Okay? So the Quran says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ, and especially, out of those two parents, because parents are two, father and? Father and mother. Okay? Parents are two, mother and father. But especially the Quran mentioned about the mother. So it says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, and his mother bore him, in the stomach, in the wombs. Okay? وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, weakness upon weakness. So look at these boys and girls. It is very important to understand that in Islam, in our religion, in our faith, respecting the parents, obeying the parents, having love and compassion to our parents, is something very much religiously obligated. It's our obligation. It's something must. Okay? And more particularly mentioned in this Quran is to the mother. And the reason is very simple, because many of us are kind of scared of father. But to the mother less. Because the mother maybe talk that more. But the father, when he talks, be careful. Right? So sometimes we are kind of more scared of the father. You raise your hand? Why is that? Yes. Do you think mother is not a woman?
No.
Okay, translation says woman, it's not mother? Okay, same. So it means mother. Okay? So let me just tell you the story of what happens in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That there is a young guy, he was so religious. I mean, he prayed 5 times a day, he did fasting, sometimes he stayed in the mosque and reading Quran, right? But the problem is that one day, he was so busy praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so busy praying. So his mother wanted him to do something. He wanted him to do something. You know, he asked him, basically he asked him to do something. But he didn't want to listen to the mother. So the mother came and knocked the door, and he was listening that his mother is coming, knocking the door, and he didn't want to open the door. The mother came 3 times, 4 times. He didn't want to because he was busy praying. So the mother went back home, her home, and she was so upset and angry. And she said, maybe it is intentionally or unintentionally, she said, may God curse him. So she cursed him. So this guy, suddenly he fell into sick. He was very, very sick. For many days, for many nights, weeks and months, sick. Very critical. He could not eat, he could not drink. And he just sick. Many people say dying is better for him. But he didn't die too. Until someone came, as Prophet Muhammad came and visited him, because he knew that he's a very religious guy. So Prophet Muhammad came to him and asked the people around what happened to him. And some people told him that, you know, he was so busy praying to Allah, until one day he forgot his mother. He didn't want to obey his mother. So his mother was so angry. So Prophet Muhammad went to the mother and asked her to come and forgive him. And believe me, according to the story, when she came and forgave her son, that son directly passed away. Means he's not in punishment anymore. My point to you is that look at the direct consequence, the direct result of the anger of the mother or of the parents in general. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ridallahi fi ridal walidaini," the pleasure of Allah. Rest in the pleasure of the parents. You want to please Allah, please your parents too. Okay, because if you displease your parents, you make your parents angry and not pleased, not feeling good, that also might be the cause that Allah is not feeling good to you. Okay, so it's very, very important that you relate yourself to your parents respectfully. Why it is so important? The question probably in your mind is, why is that? Because sometimes when you go around in your school, in your friends, and those friends said whatever they want to say to the parent, right? Because they fail to understand the role of the parents in life. No one right now loves you unconditionally more than your parents. You know, sometimes they are angry. Sometimes they may pinch you, right? Sometimes they may loud their voice to you, but they love you unconditionally. There's no doubt about that. They wanted to do every possible way to make you someone successful in the future. Become an engineer, doctor, lawyer, business people, okay, rich like Bill Gates, okay? So your parents want to be successful, and that's why he tried to send you to the best school. And they are working day and night, okay? To gain some money, not for themselves, but for you. So if you just think about all this, without first of all going to what Allah says in the Holy Quran, it will be quite enough for you as a reason to be kind and dutiful to your parents. But have you thought that sometimes? And let me just bring you back again for a while when you are a child. When you are like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Can you clean yourself? Huh? When you pee, when you poo, can you clean yourself? So you can imagine, in the middle of the night, your mother, first of all, at night, she did not sleep unless you sleep. And now you woke up because you're peeing, okay, and you're crying. Your mother must wake up and clean you and feeding you too. Until you sleep again, then she sleeps. Early in the morning, she must wake up before you and then try to go to the kitchen cooking food for your father, because he is going to the work, finding something for you, for money. So she was so busy cleaning the house, and then you cried again because you're peeing and poor. You didn't clean yourself. It's your mother. Just think about all those things. Going back, when your mother is pregnant, you are in the pregnancy. You can imagine how difficult it is for the mother walking on the street with that pregnancy. Okay? But going after that little bit, when your mother delivering the baby, that is one of the most difficult moments in the life of any woman. It's a difficult moment. It is about death and life. My mother used to say, one of my feet is under the grave, in the grave, when I deliver you. Means, it's so difficult, painful, the most difficult moments in the life of a woman when she delivers a baby. So just imagine all this, and now suddenly you become like unkind, undutiful, don't listen, don't love your parents. Okay? And so the Holy Quran makes that very, very important, that after believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah, the next one is respecting and loving the parents. Yes? Yeah, I have to be honest. I am a father too. I have 5 kids, so I have to. I have 5 so far, and so so I have to be honest with you that that is what Islam says all about, and it's not me. It's Prophet Muhammad. So once he was asked this, and listen to this girl, it's a privilege for you, because there are people around there says that Islam discriminates against the woman. Islam doesn't respect the woman. Islam always to the male side. So once Prophet Muhammad was asked by someone, a young guy, he said, whom should I respect and love? And he said, your mother. The second time he came again and said, your mother. The third time, he said, your mother. When he came for the fourth time, and then he said, your father. Only one time. So you see here 3 and 1. Certainly for us fathers is not fair according to our minds, but it is very much fair according to Islam. Why? Because at that time people tended not to respect the mothers at all. So Prophet Muhammad wanted to change the mindset of the people, the way people see the respect. You know, the Arab people in the past used to respect only fathers. So Prophet Muhammad came to change that way of behaving to the parents. It's now the time even to respect and love the mother more than your father. Change your mindset. Change the way you see your parents. That most of the time you respect the father and you don't respect the mother. Now change it. 3 and 1. Okay, so that is the conclusion. You're true. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdami al-ummahat. Paradise lies under the feet of the mother. Rest under the feet of the mother. The place of paradise is under the feet of your mother. Means, do you want to enter into the heaven, into the paradise, to the surga, to the jannah? Do you want? It's very easy. Raise your mother up and take the kid under the feet. Mean uplift, respect your mother. Okay? Make her high. Okay? Make her respectful. Respectful and noble. Make her feeling that you respect her. Okay? So this is also good information for you. In time that people around out there talking about our religion, our Islam, that Islam disrespect the woman. Okay? You have many reasons to say that Islam respect the woman that much. Equally as it respect the men as well. Okay? So coming back, you know, it's very, very important according to the teaching of the Holy Quran, to respect our parents. Okay? The Holy Quran even says, if you read that, can anybody read it?
Yes.
Still, you open it? Yeah. No, you.
Okay.
Oh, you miss it? You open it. You miss it?
Okay.
I don't know. Which page is that?
Okay.
But maybe, yeah. Chapter number 21, verse number 14 to number 15.
Oh, may I read it?
You
read
it?
Yeah.
14 to 15.
Chapter
21. Okay, I got it.
Sorry.
Yes. Okay. They said, to us, we were indeed wrongdoers. 15.
No, not the one.
It's chapter 4, I mean, chapter 21.
No. 31, sorry.
Oh, 31. I got it.
14 and 15. 14.
And we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents in travail upon travail his mother bore him. And in 2 years was his weaning. Hear the command, show gratitude to me and to your parents. To me is your final goal.
Okay, stop. First of all, what's the meaning of travail? Huh? You know?
Travail.
What is the Los Angeles meaning of travail?
Travail
means weakness upon weakness. Weak. Your mother is weak. You know, physically, women are weaker than men. You know.
What
they like what? You know, even if you go to the gymnasium and building your muscles, still you're weaker than men. That's just the reality is. I mean, you have to accept the one. But why then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that you are the one to be pregnant, another man? You know, suppose it's not easy to be pregnant. I mean, you can imagine if you have how many pounds sometimes inside of, especially in the 8 months, 9 months, and the mother had with that inside of the stomach, the wombs, and she is weak. So weak upon weak, weakness upon weakness. This means of travail upon travail. And then it says what?
Number 15.
Read again. Number 14.
Number 14 again.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents.
Okay.
In travail.
In weakness upon weakness, let's say. Okay.
Yeah. Upon weakness. To his mother bore him. And in 2 years was his weaning. Hear the command. Show gratitude to me and to your parents.
So after delivering you, after she was pregnant, she delivered you. Then in 2 years, basically it's just a time that Allah mentioned. You know, your mother basically taking care of you very, very seriously. In many ways, especially in villages, mothers breastfeed the kid 2 years. And breastfeeding is always healthy. Okay? And that's why even the United States government, even American government, encourages the woman to breastfeed the kid. But sometimes women do not want, for whatever the reason. And that is the healthier way of raising up the kid. And your mother basically breastfeed you in many ways, sometimes two years.
Mom did.
And my kids are basically were breastfed in 2 years. And I sometimes it's more than 2 years because you want to stop and he doesn't want to stop. Oh, really? Okay, more than 2 years. See, so it's not an easy. Your mother's eating food, and all those essence of food is going to her breast, milk, and you eat it. Because you take the food from your mother. Okay? Now just think about that. How the role your mother's played in your life. And that's why when you say three times loving the mother, it is simply very rational. And that's why Allah decided that. Okay, so وَسَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلْ أُمُّهَنَ وَالْوَانِ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ. And then thank Allah and thank me and thank your parents. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected the thankfulness to himself and to the parents. Means, if you don't thank your parents, you fail to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand that? So you never say thank you mom. It means Allah basically say you are basically fail to thank me. So thank your mother, thank your father, and then That is the meaning of one of the ways of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the number 15 now? Boys, read. 15. First, yeah. Okay, read it. Yes, yes.
Oh, sorry.
But if they strive to make you join in worship with me things of which you have no knowledge, do justice and consideration and follow the way of those who...
Wait, I skipped the line, huh? Wait, I'm sorry.
But if they strive to make... you join in worship with me things of which you have no knowledge, do not obey them. Yet bear them company in this life with justice and consideration and follow the way of those who turn to me in love. In the end, the return of you all is to me, and I will tell you the truth and meaning of all that you did.
That's good. Okay, wonderful. Hey, what do you understand from here? Anybody can tell me something? What do you understand from this particular verse? Huh?
What?
Anybody can say something? What do you understand so far after this reading? Okay, so let me read it again to you. But if they... endeavor, if they force you... listen. I'm using my own words. If they force you to associate Allah with anything in worship, to do something what I call here shirk. Okay, let's say you go home and your father say, worship that idol. Let's say, out of ignorance, worship that idol. What the Quran says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. We cannot obey them. If your parents ask you to do something that contradicts, it's against Allah's will, you have to say no. Okay? But what the Quran says, no, respectfully. Because sometimes you need to say no, but respectfully. Okay? Always you have to say it respectfully. What does it mean respectfully? With humbleness, yes. Like that. No. So you said no, but with humbleness, with sincerity, not arrogance, not so high, not so what? Not so. Try to be humble to your parents, but don't obey them in doing something bad. Okay, and that's why the Quran says, "Wasahibhuma fi dunya ma'rufa," that no matter how you may consider your parents not good, even that is true. Even when you say that, worst situation, that your parents are not good. And they're not good here means, according to the Quran, that they ask you to do something bad. The worst they may say to you is worship other than Allah. Worship that idol, worship this. That's the worst thing in Islam. Let's say it happens in the family. And the father asks you to worship other than God. The Quran says, even in that such worse situation, you cannot simply be disrespectful to your parents. You cannot. Okay? So the Quran says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You still have to accompany them in life kindly, with justice, with nice. Okay? So even if you say no, no with kindness. Even if you say no, no with humbleness. Even if you say no, you have to say no, but with justice and humility. So you understand here?
Yeah.
Do you understand it?
Yeah.
In other words, there is no way in Islam to be disrespectful to the parents, no matter what. No matter what. Okay, let's go to the discussion now. Because this is about parents. Let's say like what? You have to defend yourself respectfully. Like what? You know, it's not... He says something extreme. He says something maybe rational, maybe not really true, but I say that statement is kind of extreme. He said, how about if your parents want to kill you? Okay, let's say it happens. Okay, let's say, how about if your parents want to kill you? It's not only your parents. Let me just tell you this. Because in Islam, sometimes our religion is accused as a religion of violence and killing. You know, sometimes you go out there and people say, you know, Islam is about killing, Islam is about hate, Islam is about this and that and that. So, you know, say this. In Islam, we always respond to any bad things peacefully. The Quran says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ and the servants of the merciful. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَ those who walk in the land humbly. Walking in this earth with all humbleness. Not arrogance. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ and if the ignorant address them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا they respond peaceful, with peace. That is what Islam is all about. Now, what happens if someone comes to you and want to kill you? Not only your parents, but anyone. What do you have to do? Huh? Second? Defend yourself, but which way? There are many ways to defend ourselves. Huh? Striking back? Killing back? Not yet. Let me just tell you, there are three levels. Listen to this. There are three levels. The best one is, when he comes and wanted to kill you, you see him very angry, okay, and he's coming to kill you. First of all, do like this, smile. Do like this, and smile and shake hand. Okay, but how about, the question is, maybe sometime, you know, through smile, you change his mind and his heart. Okay, but how if he insists to kill you? He just still raises his hand to kill you. What are you gonna do? The Quran says, فَأَعْرِضَ عَنْهُمْ turn away from him. Turn away means running away, run away. Just escape. But how about if he follows you? This is the third one. Huh? He still follow you. Then turn your face and defend yourself. What an intention to defend yourself. There are two possibilities happening. Number one, either you kill, either you got killed, or you kill him. Okay? When you kill him, you are respectfully killing him because you don't want to kill him. Just because you defend yourself, and it happened that you kill him. But if you are killed, that is what we call in Islam shahada. This means martyrdom in Arab, in English language sometimes. Okay, you got killed with honor and dignity. Okay, you don't want to kill, you don't want to be killed, but simply because you defend yourself and it happened that you got killed. Okay? So same thing when it happened to your parents, even more important when something, that is just an extreme statement, that how about if our parents want to kill us, and then even more respectful than that. So try all the way to smile and say, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry, Mother, what happened, you know. Try to show him the best ever things, okay? I don't think that he will insist to do that, but let's say there are some crazy parents around still wanted to kill you, then you get out from home, running away to your neighbors, try, but never being in any way have bad intention to your parents. So coming back, there is no basically way to disrespect our parents. The worst, as I said, even they ask you to do something, biggest sin in Islam called shirk, you can still have the right to say no, but you don't have any right to say no, even disrespectfully. No with respect. You understand? That is, second, yeah. What? Okay, yes. So he said, how about if this guy kills one of your family? Okay. Would you kill him back or killing him? Certainly no in Islam. So let's say someone kills our brother. Okay, listen to this. Because sometimes we are chaos. We don't have organized thinking about the religion. So we are like tribal people living in the desert in the 7th century thinking about the religion. So someone is killing our brother, we kill back. And now then that brother who is killing back again, this killing back. This is what happened before Islam. And that's why in Islam, when the Quran came down, to stop that kind of killing and killing and killing, with this continually killing, kill my brother, I kill him, and then he kill him back, I kill him back, no ending. So the Quran came down to stop that. And that's why there is one of the law in Islam called Qisas. And Qisas means capital punishment. Means that if someone kill from my family, I have the right to ask for justice. And certainly we are living in the world today with law. Justice might be different. If we live within an Islamic state that practice an Islamic law, the justice may be extreme, and that is capital punishment. Means the killer will be killed. Okay? But still can be found anyway. So let's say my brother is got killed, right? I have the right to ask that person will be killed. But if any other immediate family, my brothers or my sisters say, no, it's okay, we just forgive him, then he is not going to be killed. That is the Islamic law. So to make it short, you are not allowed simply directly killing him if he killed one of his family. Because if that happens, it means there is no law. If this happens, it means we are in chaos. Okay? And that's why we have law. So what we do, we have to go to the government, to the law enforcement, and report to the law enforcement that we need justice, and justice will be established by the governments. That is what Islam is all about. Islam is not tribal religion. That there is no law. So if you want to change, you have to change through the law. And for you live in America, you have the law, so you need also to obey that law. Anything else? Not necessarily relating to the parents, anything. Now, because the time is limited. Yeah, any question? Huh? Yes. Yeah, that's if you are in a war, yeah, and that is what you know, listen to this. Some people accuse our religion of war. Okay, because there are many wars in the Muslim world today. In the Middle East, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, there are many wars. Okay? So sometimes you listen in the school, students or teachers may be talking about Islam being religion of war. War in Islam is permitted, is allowed, when you are in the position of forcefully to defend yourself. So there is a verse, there is an ayah in the Quran says like this, قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ, and fight those who fight you. Means those who do not fight you, don't fight them. Okay? So don't go out to the street and say, you know, he's a Jew, he's a Christian, I'm going to fight with him. That's not a reason. He's not fighting you. What's the reason to fight with him? Okay? But even that he fights you, you are permitted to fight back as a defense, to defend yourself. But the Quran says, لا تعتدو, do not transgress the limit. Means, if you hit you one time, do not hit him back 100 times. It's only one time too. With a hope that he will stop. If he hit you again 2 times, hit back 2 times, not 3 times. With a hope that he will stop. So you understand, that is the meaning of war in Islam. War in Islam is defensive, means to defend only. You are not allowed aggressively engaging in war in Islam. Okay? You cannot go out to anywhere else and just simply say, you know, I wanted to fight with these people. No, you are only allowed to fight when you are attacked, when your rights are taken by those enemies. Is clear? Mm-hmm. That is absolutely an ignorant understanding. Okay, let me just tell you a story. I think last year, I was interviewed by CNN, and there were 2 individuals, very extremist radicals, also interviewed by CNN. So normally, usually these people came to the mosque in New York City, to the mosque where I am working. And he demonstrated against me and against the mosque because they say I'm too much peaceful, too much moderate. We want you to be a little bit strong and powerful or harsher. So they want me to all time cursing people, all times you know, telling people go out and fight, you know, something like that. And that's not my nature, and that's not my Islam that I understand. Okay? So usually he came and demonstrated against me. So CNN interviewed me and interviewed them. When CNN interviewed them, they said, Islam justifies terrorism. Allah even commands us in the Holy Quran to terrorize people. So CNN says, surprise, it's true. Where is in the Quran? And he mentioned this verse, this ayah. Let me just tell you this. The Quran says, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاتِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَعَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ. And prepare for them strength in terms of materials, and that is economic preparations, so that you can compete. The word turhibun in Arabic is translated, unfortunately, the Arabic word of terrorism is irhab. Okay, if you ask Arab people, what is the Arabic term of terrorism? They will say irhab. And this ayah says turhibuna, the same root of the word, the same word. So it means to terrorize them. But the translation is absolutely misleading, because the meaning of turhibuna here in Arabic means to show them strength and power. Because in the time of the Prophet, those powerful non-Muslims terrorized Muslims because they had economic power, they had military power, so they terrorized the Muslims. They attacked the city, Medina, many times. So what the Quran says, you have to prepare yourself in terms of empowerment economically, because you, when you are powerful, they will not be easily attacking you. Alright? So the meaning of terror here that extremists understand is economic empowerment, political empowerment, militarily, military empowerment as well. We need to empower ourselves. And that's why you have to study. You have to be powerful economically also. Because if you are poor, those rich people will come to you and say, you know, come with me to the church because I have money for you. And you will be easy to go. Why? Because you need money. But if you have money, say, are you crazy? I don't need that money. Go to your hell. That is the meaning of power. And those terrorists understand that as terrorism, which is absolutely ignorant understanding. So you understand now? We don't have any terrorism in Islam. Terrorism is absolutely rejected in our teaching. Okay, you don't find that anywhere. That is just ignorance, that is just stupidity in understanding the Quran when anybody says that the Quran justifies terrorism because they do not understand the Holy Quran. Anything else? No more? If no more, then you have the right to take rest. This is exactly the time that it's mentioned. 25, right? So I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us always and strengthen you. And thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.